Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's half 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Melissa, here we go with episode number 9.
Lucky number 9. We're
back again. We are.
How about that, Morgan?
Hey, we're returning, aren't we?
Back again.
So we have an interesting guest, I would say, today. A man who has done many, many things in his career.
He's been everywhere.
I have been a few places within the agency.
A few places.
You want to introduce yourself?
Yes. How you doing? I'm Jeff Hollinsworth. I am a sergeant with the Newport News Police Department. I'm currently assigned to training in charge of our academy, which is initial education. The academy is broken up into two sections, initial education and continuing education. Continuing education, for an example, would be in-service, specialty schools, something of that nature, or instructorships, and I'm in charge of the recruits and their staff.
So you stay busy?
Extremely.
Extremely busy.
Extremely busy.
How long have you been in the academy now?
Right now, my current tenure at the academy is going on 4 years.
Okay, and this is your second time
Yes.
in the academy.
Yes, in the mid-2000s, I could say, 2011, 12, 13, and maybe a bit of 14, I was assigned to the academy as a master police officer in charge of the range.
Fascinating.
My assignment was what MPO Webb's assignment is now.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit and tell us a little bit about the man, Jeff Hollinsworth.
Okay.
Share with the public.
All right. I was born in Newport News. I lived here until I was 5, and then my family moved to York County, out onto the fishing village of Seaford in York County. Went to York High School, had the opportunity to graduate there. Highlights from my high school career would have been our baseball team for my sophomore junior and senior year. We went to the state championship in baseball, and we finally won on my senior year.
That's a good way to go out. That's
awesome. It was. Yes, then I went to Chowan College, which is now a university. So that was where every state champion on the East Coast went that had a very low point average. So,
Okay.
Yes. Right. So that was supposed to be the big gateway school to East Coast schools and professional aspects, but that didn't work out.
Okay. And here we are.
Here we are.
Okay. Our win on that one.
Yes.
Absolutely. We got a quality guy for sure. So now you started your career in law enforcement, not here.
Correct.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Actually, I had applied for the city of Newport News. I was actually in a process with Lieutenant Rogers. And I remember sitting down and taking the test, because at that point in time, the city tested about 200 to 300 applicants at a time. And that was at the old health department.
Sure was.
And the auditorium. And I remember sitting down next to a gentleman that for whatever reason, spoke to himself through the entire test, and I actually came in contact with him in the academy because I wasn't hired by Newport News. I was hired by Smithfield, and I started my career in Smithfield, and then I married my shift partner, and then from there, the town was like, hey, we're a small agency, so we really can't have a husband and wife on the same shift type thing, or there wasn't a large agency at the time, and so a choice is made for me to go beyond. So I applied for the Alloyet Sheriff's Office in the interim and worked there for 4 months, working 319 square miles by myself. I answered directly to the sheriff at the time.
Wow.
And I was in the application.
319.
Yes,
square
that's
miles.
The size of.
And Alloyet. You were by yourself.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Incredible.
And then I was fortunate enough to be picked up by Newport News and started my career in the Southeast community and loved every minute of it.
Wow. And so how long have you been here now, Jeff, Newport News?
All right. So I started in 2003. So I'm in my 22nd year, I believe, if I'm doing the math correctly.
You're getting close, aren't you?
I am.
Not that anybody's counting.
Well, close on the books, but I see myself here for a very long time.
Yeah. Very nice. You enjoy it. That's...
Yes.
Yeah. It's meaningful to you.
It is. I mean, I'm not trying to get a political answer or anything else like that, but Newport News is a great place. It really is. Growing up in York County, this is where I came to play, have fun. I can remember when I learned to drive, I was always fascinated with the boat works all the way down at the dead end of Jefferson. And driving down there with my friends, and it was one of our rituals. We'd go down there and look at all the possible Navy boats that were being worked on or whatever, and seeing all the activities on Jefferson all the way up through, you know, 19th and Jefferson, all the activity, because it was popular at night to go through there and, and just experience life.
Wow. And then you...
I didn't hang out there.
So it was late.
I would pass through.
Passing through.
Yes.
Gotcha.
But you were fascinated by the boats and all that stuff.
Yes.
That's interesting. And then you end up coming to Newport News, where we employ you, and you become a police officer.
Yes.
Now, Melissa, you mentioned earlier that Jeff's done some pretty interesting things in his career.
I don't know. Are we allowed to talk about, I mean, because you used to be on TOU, right?
Yes.
That's our tactical...
Yes, our tactical unit. Operations unit.
So what did you do for the TAC team?
Well, I was on the team for a total of 14 years. My last stint was, I came off when I had my son. So my last stint was 6 years, and 4 years or 5 years of the last were sniper team leader.
Wow, a huge responsibility.
Yes, very much so.
Now, I know from a previous guest, Melissa,
yes,
Captain Funiak, that she was also a sniper. So I don't want to start any kind of competition, but can you tell us who the best shot was?
Yes.
Okay. Will you tell us who the best shot was? Who was it?
I was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we might have to have Captain Funiak back to dispute that, baby. I love how you confidently said that. Yeah. So what's being in the academy, I guess I should ask this question. What is the most gratifying thing about working in an environment where you're able to teach new folks, if you will, law enforcement?
I would say seeing somebody succeed. We're not all blessed with gifts, and some of us are. Some of us have to work at things. Some of us have to struggle. When you have difficulties, you learn from that experience. You obtain knowledge. You maintain that knowledge. You put it into place, into practice. From there, we might have a recruit that might have difficulty in legals or driving or firearms or defensive tactics, and you work with them. They might struggle, they get down, you build them back up, you stay positive, you always are injecting that positive energy, that motivation, and then once they pick that up, it's contagious. It is contagious, and they flourish. It's like adding Miracle Grow to a plant, and you just watch it grow. And then they take the comprehensive exam, and then they get out there on the street, and they're just having a blast, doing their job, meeting the needs, and just watching them progress through their career, and seeing them later come back into FTO class or general instructor class, and I'm like,
right.
Good course.
And FTO, for those who don't know, is Field Training Officer School.
Yes.
Yeah, where now the taught become the teachers.
Correct.
Which is pretty incredible. And you did that, correct?
Yes, for a very long time.
So you've been teaching between General Instructor School, which is basically like a professor of various subjects, right, subject matter experts, being a Field Training Officer, and your current position, you have taught a lot of people.
Yes, a lot within the agency.
And a variety of different subjects as well. Can you talk about some of the subjects you teach?
Well, at one point in my first stint in training, I used to teach in service. So if Sergeant Bartels at the time wasn't teaching legals, I would teach it. I always loved to teach some type of DMAT, some type of thing on the range, some type of technique. Officer safety. And then, like, currently right now, we're doing driving for our recruits out at Fort Monroe.
Yes, thank you for giving us Deaver back. We appreciate that.
Yes,
Sergeant Deaver. He was
Sergeant
on loan.
Sergeant Deaver was out there all day the other day.
The city currently doesn't have. We have a new academy. We have our range at the Fort Eustis. So all our training sites except that, right, which driving is driving, range. Is within the city.
Is
so driving is right. Yes.
Which I spent a week at the training academy with you guys last week for general instructor school.
Okay.
And it is amazing. That
yes.
is a gorgeous building.
It is. It's still in its growth stage, I guess
right.
you could say, construction
right.
stage, but we're working out all the issues and getting
yes.
through it.
I love it. You know?
Yeah,
really
beautiful,
nice.
Beautiful facility,
yeah.
large, all the room we need. We have our own gymnasium.
Yes.
We have mats for
yes.
when we train.
Yes, we have a full-time defensive tactics room. When our purchase mats come in, it'll be wall-to-wall mats,
oh.
everything, so...
Yeah. And very cool. large classrooms. I mean, we seat a lot of people in each classroom.
Yes.
yes.
One of our classrooms is equal to the size of two of our old classrooms, which we only had
wow.
two classrooms before.
What an upgrade.
Yes.
Yeah, incredible. And all the instructors have their own office. It's super organized. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very lucky to have that kind of facility.
It
not,
is.
We can say not all jurisdictions are that lucky.
No.
We're self-contained, really.
Right.
Heck, we even have a kitchen in there.
There is a big
I mean, come
kitchen
on now.
Area.
Yes, there's a big kitchen,
area.
But that's...
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Yes.
It'll
yes.
get there.
Work
It'll
in progress.
There.
Well, that's another opportunity to teach somebody more life skills.
There
oh,
go.
There you go.
Yes, because not everybody comes in to the academy that with the basic knowledge, I guess you could say.
Sure.
I mean, I'm a stickler for paper towels on the floor. All right. Somebody will go wash their hands after the restroom or whatever, and the paper towel will go onto the floor. I'm like, you know what? Let's go to attention to detail. That's a piece of evidence. That's a shell casing, and a single shell casing can solve a crime.
Something, so pick it up.
Yes,
yeah,
pick it up.
Simple.
Yes.
Can translate into your
everyday
job.
Yeah. And the reality of our work is that sometimes people join us with absolutely zero law enforcement experience, i.e., Morgan, me. So we have to be taught everything about law enforcement, right? From paperwork to how to stand properly so that you're prepared, you know, God forbid that something were to happen quickly, you're ready to go. So we sometimes take people literally knowing nothing and develop them in a period of 6 months into law enforcement officers who are ready to pair with somebody else and train in the field.
Yes.
That is an incredible feat if you think that's a very short period of time, right,
short.
That you're making these things happen, which speaks to the quality of the instruction that they're receiving. And I would argue, and I think Melissa and I agree on this, we have some of the best instructors on the East Coast, if not the United States of America. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, you've got a good crew down there.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
I do. I am very blessed. Our agency, not just me,
blessed.
It's just it's not mine, but our agency is blessed. Our city is blessed.
Yeah, and there, and what I really appreciate about our training cadre is that they're not braggadocious.
They're not.
When you talk to them, you can see that there's a sense of care for people, right? They really, truly, like you said, want to develop people. That makes me so proud to be an organization, part of an organization that has that mentality when they come to work. It's not about me. It's about developing others.
Yes. We want to show them the aspect, not so much to quote the chief, but we are family. Yes, we're not going to agree. But if we don't instill from the beginning, you know, like, hey, Sergeant, my wife is going through this or my child is doing this. I'm like, okay, well, let's look at the roster. Do you need a day off or whatever? Well, we can't give the recruits off like a week.
Right.
All right. Because we have DCGS elements that we have to meet and time frames and everything else and the number of hours dedicated to those elements. But we'll work with somebody.
Absolutely.
Right. We really will.
You
well,
always
we,
have.
We seem to be very much so acclimated to meeting people where they are and bringing them through
yes.
things from start to finish.
Yes.
And I think that kind of makes us stand out a lot. We just, you know.
Yes, because we're human. This is a
that
human
part.
Function when we deal with humans.
Yeah. And when you say DCJS, that's the Department of Criminal Justice Services, which obviously has certain mandates we must meet, right?
Yes.
We must meet. But they don't tell us when we have to meet them. Well, let me back up. They have to meet them before they graduate. So you have that flexibility to allow them to do the things that they need to do to ensure their families are okay. Because our primary, our need as human beings is to ensure that our family is okay.
Correct.
Because if they're not okay, we're not okay. We're not going to come to work in that state of mind where we're as sharp as we should be. So
yes.
Now,
so with that, if I may, I mean, it continues. It starts in the academy and it continues through their career and their shift. They're building the rapport with their supervisors and their shift mates and everything else. And, you know, if, you know, there are times that, you know, we can't give someone off or whatever.
Sure.
But if we can, we do. And we work with people.
Right.
Everybody has some developing problem or issue at some point in their life and they need assistance. Why not? Let's help them out. It's the right thing to do.
And I would argue that because you do it for them, they will do it for others.
Yes.
And especially when they get in a leadership position, because I've been there, right? And what I remember is, you know, somebody looked out for me along the way. I must do the same.
Yes.
And then they will do the same. And that's where we are sort of now, because we have this department, this culture of care that exists in the Newport News Police Department. And I'm not trying to sell the Newport News Police Department, but I am bragging a little bit because I'm proud to be part of an organization that legitimately, genuinely cares about the employees. And especially the chiefs and the assistant chiefs and the captains and the lieutenants and the sergeants and the corporals who display that every single day by doing something for somebody else.
Yes.
I'm proud of that.
And let us not forget the master police officers.
And the master police officers who really have probably next to FTO the most influence.
The most. Those are our leaders in the trenches.
Because the sergeants can't and the corporals can't be at every call for service. But
That's right.
MPOs throughout the shift.
Yeah.
They're seeing it
and
all.
And MPOs, for those of you who don't know, are the master police officers.
Yes.
They're really the people who master police work. So.
Yes, that is the poster child.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you say for the agency.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Kel, how you doing? Kelly's back, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, our producer. How
Doing
are
great.
You? Yeah? How was your vacation?
It was great. It was fun. Feels like it was forever ago, but I had a good time.
You just got back.
How are we doing on time, Kel?
We probably want to move along a little bit.
Okay. Sounds good. That means for me to zip it.
Oh.
All right. That's
okay.
What
I was
saying.
Having so much fun talking.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure having you. We've known each other probably from the beginning of your career, right?
The very beginning of my career, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a
that's
story.
Right.
To
that's
come.
Right. That is right. Now, any stories to tell on me?
Oh,
I'm going to
yeah.
open it up because
because yes.
everyone else seems to enjoy it.
This is literally my
okay,
favorite part.
So,
you have one. Oh,
yes, I do. You used to be involved in training also at some point in your career, sir.
I was, yes.
All right. On this particular occasion, you were a guest instructor. You weren't actually assigned to, it was, I think, after your stint.
Okay.
So, in the early morning hours of like January 3rd, 1998, and we're talking 4:30 a.m., I respond to go to the regional academy as a recruit. I arrive, I would get there early, and I see everybody, and this was when the regional academy was at Ferguson High School.
Yes, corner of
wow.
J. Clyde and Warwick Boulevard.
Yes.
I don't know where this is going, but I am curious.
Yes, so from there, I park against the fence line because I really don't know where to park, and I see just a sea of tan and yellow. And at that time, the regional academy, the uniforms were tan Dickey uniforms, and everybody had a yellow hat and a yellow name tag. And I got there, and I'm actually driving a MARC unit because I came from Smithfield. And I pull up a park, and I look around, and I was like, oh my gosh, my department didn't give me a yellow hat and a name tag. So I am like lost. I don't know what door to go to because it's still an old, I mean, it's an old high school. So but not knowing that the BLE section was in the back hallway.
Yeah, BLE is basic law enforcement.
Yes. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So from there, I walk up and I approach this sharp gentleman in uniform, master police officer at the time, standing on the steps. And I say, excuse me, sir. And this officer just cuts right into me. He's like, "While you're out here goofing around, I could be getting my backside kicked and I could be dying and blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Yes, sir. I'm lost. This is my first day and I'm looking for basic law enforcement academy class, whatever." He goes, "Oh, that's three doors down there." Right?
And who was that jerk?
That was Captain.
That would be you. Yeah, oh no!
But no, I mean it was a valuable lesson in aspect. Because 20 minutes later, I'm in formation and lineup, and I had some really good coaching coming into the academy about preparing my uniform and cutting all the strings off with fingernail clippers and shirt stays.
Intake day, huh?
Oh yes.
Day one.
And I was the unfortunate, the only one not dropped. To do
because you look sharp, and you've always looked sharp.
And you were the one that did my inspection.
Did I really? Yes. Was I particular?
Yes, you were.
All right, setting a standard, pal. Setting a standard.
That's right.
It starts somewhere, right?
All right, Melissa. Shall we go into rapid fire?
I think we should.
Are you ready for it, Jeff?
Yes.
All right, Melissa. After you.
Am I starting?
Oh, yes, okay. You are.
All right. So first one is best trip you've ever taken.
Best trip I've ever taken. Ah, well, I like to travel, so that's multiple answers.
It's a hard one.
Yes, because me and my friends growing up, I grew up with two twins, Joseph and David, and we hung out so much. I mean, I've known them since I was 7 years old, which is it's kind of rare in this area because of the military change and everything else.
Right.
But we would take these annual trips. We would. It started off in high school. Where we would do like a ski trip, then like a summer beach or a fishing trip in the springtime during our spring break. Mm-hmm. So we could all get tans. We'd never caught any fish and we're laying out all over the boat, not catching a single thing. And then we would have beach trips and things like that. And our timing was not the best on these trips because do y'all remember Hurricane Bob years and years ago?
I don't.
Hurricane Bob.
Anyway, it came up the coast and we're all down there playing in the beach and playing in the water, and every place that we went, we saw a news crew. So we were all every time we saw the news crew, we're goofing off in the background. And, there's a hotel and there's a news crew and they're filming and they're talking about how rough the surf is and we're out there.
No clue. Just living it up.
And then, we're at the at a restaurant and they're taping up at the windows and we're in there goofing off and whatever else. And not until we look out and see all the traffic, trying to leave and they're taping the windows up. Wow. And we were like the last customers to walk out. And then we also realized our keys were locked in our car. So we were sitting all, but we got out in time.
Great memories.
Yes. But, it was a trip. It was an annual trip.
Fun.
So when we would get together on the evenings, we always had to be home, all three of us. Well, obviously they're in the same household. Mm-hmm. We had to be home at the same time. Anytime we went out, we had to be home at the same on a weekend. So we had our routines, our driving aspects, and we would go here and go there and do all that. But yes, so we would go do our lighthouse. Yes, a lot of fun. Sorry.
Wow.
So my question is indefinite, I guess you could say.
Your answer. Yeah, absolutely.
My answer,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And how about you?
Go. Oh, well, I'm a traveler.
Yes, you are.
I'm a traveler. So I did London a couple years ago.
Yeah. One of your favorites?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I had to question myself for coming back.
Yeah. Italy for me. My wife and I went in 2023. Amazing vacation. Amazing. Amazing people. All right. Favorite soda?
Dr. Pepper.
Melissa?
My official answer is that I don't drink soda.
And my official
is
I don't drink soda. Oh, okay. In case he's watching this. All right, we'll go with that. I am not a soda drinker. Can't drink it, don't like it, just too sweet for me. So,
got it. Let's see. What is your favorite course to teach the recruits at the training academy?
Oh, this is a hard one for an instructor.
Right.
It is. It depends. It really does. It depends on the recruit.
Oh.
Because I mean, I love driving. That's what we're doing now. But it could be anything. It's what makes it enjoyable is if they're having difficulty and then seeing them assess the problem, work through the problem, you give them information to solve the problem, and then they succeed.
And they do.
But when I say it's multifaceted, because not with a said subject, but you can apply that same philosophy to everything that you do.
Okay.
Same way of problem solving on the street.
So what gives you the most satisfaction is that light bulb that goes off when they get it.
Just
yes. Regardless of the subject.
Correct.
Yeah. And speaking of which, you've got an academy class getting ready to graduate, don't you?
Yes.
We've got, what, six weeks?
Yes.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. How about you, Melissa? What do you like to teach?
Well, since I was just back at the academy getting my general instructor back, I liked the CIT. Before.
And what does that stand for?
That is the
crisis intervention training.
Crisis intervention. Yeah, very important subject for law enforcement.
That and Alzheimer's, the training for Alzheimer's for the officers.
Okay.
I like doing both of those.
Yeah, I like teaching a variety of different subjects, but definitely most satisfying to me is leadership. I'm in love with the subject. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be truthful with you.
Like that.
All right, so here we go. What is the last song you remember listening to? Or one of them? Any in particular? I know it's a tough one, man.
AC/DC, Hell's Bells.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How about you there, Melissa?
I was literally in the car listening to Kendrick Lamar right before I got on. There's like this battle going on between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Kendrick Lamar was literally on the radio as I was walking in. Amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I was listening to the radio on the way in here, and I can't remember what I was listening to. So that's my true answer. All right, let's go.
Last one. If you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would you have dinner with?
That is another
tough question. Yeah, man, we gave you something to ponder today, pal.
But I know that's good. And I'm going to see if I can fire off as many answers as possible.
Okay, here we go. All right.
First, Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, yes.
We'll see. President Roosevelt.
Okay.
The second one.
Interesting.
For Abraham Lincoln, just for what was going on in the country at the time.
Okay.
And his thought processes and how to bring the country back together. Mm-hmm. And
awesome.
Just from the Emancipation Proclamation, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then bringing the country back together was big. And then with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, with going through the coming out of the Depression and back into the war, and having the country just mobilize and everything else. Let's see. I would like to have another discussion with Carlos Hathcock, who was a famous Marine Corps sniper. I had the pleasure to meet him at one of the gun shows before he passed away and had a brief conversation with him.
Wow.
Very humble individual.
Wow.
Lastly, my father.
Okay. Very good. Very good. How about you, Melissa?
I don't think I have an answer for this one. There would just be so many.
Yeah, I agree.
If
there's
so
one
many.
Person that I could sit down with and just chat up, I would love to have spoke and really had dinner with Colin Powell. I think he is amazing, amazing leader, just a fascinating man. I had the occasion to, I had the chance, I should say, and I was sick and I missed it, to actually meet him. And unfortunately, you know, as we know, he passed away. I think he's one of the greatest leaders this country has ever seen, in my personal opinion, an incredible soldier. Love the people in his charge, just outstanding leader. So, but if I could do it, absolutely I would. And of course, I would love to go back and visit with some of my relatives as well. So, well, this concludes episode number 9. But before we part ways, I must give a shout out to the chief and deputy chief of the Hampton Police Division. They have their own podcast, ladies and gentlemen. How about them apples? All right, but you know what they say. Often imitated, but never duplicated. We wish you the best, Chief. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We sure do appreciate it. look forward to seeing you on episode number 10. What do we say, Melissa?
Double digits.
Double digits.
We're going to get to the double digits.
And don't forget to push the thingies.
Yes, let's push the buttons below. Make sure you're subscribing to YouTube. We've also gone audio. So anywhere you get your podcasts, you can listen for us. Apple, Google, all of that. So find us on those as well. Thanks for watching today, and come back and see us next time.
Cheers, everyone.
Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's 36.